Robert Sherman, national and foreign correspondent at News Nation, chatted us up yesterday before the debate. Here we are the day after. Robert, where did you view the debate last night?
I was back at the hotel watching this debate last night because I was on the morning shift, but I couldn't stay away, so I pulled the late night in order to see this whole thing unfold, and quite the array of topics came up that I wasn't necessarily expecting.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you know, you see some of the conversations, and it's like, I mean, for example, like the talks about what's going on in Ohio and the allegations about eating pets and stuff like that. That was not on my bingo card. You also heard both of these candidates really try and get back into their wheelhouse. You heard the vice president focus on issues such as abortion, the former president really hammering the issue of immigration as well. I mean, walking out of this, I mean, both of these campaigns say that they feel as though that they communicated what they needed to communicate. That's a pretty typical line that you hear from every campaign, no matter how well the night went. But I mean, the big thing is going to be, you know, what do these next few days look like? Is there any response in the polls? Did this matter? Did this not? Remains to be seen.
I guess we will get the results of some sort of call out surveys. Who do you think won the debate? I mean, I'm interested in just maybe how people feel about the debate in and of itself. It's maybe too soon to know, although it did seem as though Donald Trump was on the defensive. You know, what I thought was interesting was that Trump elected to have the last statement, and I don't think that's a terrible idea, but the way it played out last night is therefore Kamala Harris got to answer the first question first, and since she then turned that question into an accusation at Donald Trump, it seemed to me like all night long then he was batting back what she said. She had first serve, and he was playing defense almost the whole night.
And, you know, when you actually, our research department really dug into the numbers and you see the minutes allocated going on the offensive. I mean, we saw the vice president actually go on the offensive even more from our statistical analysis from what we've seen here, which was a bit of a surprise to me. I would say that the big thing here is going to be, you know, there's this distinction that's going to be made by the voters at some point, John, is what kind of an election is this? Is this an election based on the issues, or is this an election based upon the personality? And the reason that I think that that distinction is so important is almost every metric that we're seeing right now gives the vice president a bit of an edge when it comes to personality. We see some of these polls, you know, that suggest that she might be in the lead in the grand scheme of things. But on some of the particular issues, you still see the former president outpolling on the economy, outpolling on immigration. Some indicate outpolling on foreign policy as well. So that gives you an indication of where voters feel right now. And maybe they still don't have a full picture of what Kamala Harris's platform would look like. But what kind of an election is this? Is this a candidate election? Is this an issues election? That's kind of the one question that still needs to be sorted out.
A lot of the sites out there score the false claims or lies, and Donald Trump was somewhere between 30 and 50 statements that weren't true, and Kamala Harris had some, but CNN has her down for maybe just one. And therefore, the moderators were put in a position to decide whether or not they should fact check Donald Trump. I thought it was understood that there wouldn't be fact checking, but several times, of course, they corrected the record and said to him specifically what you just said was not true. How did you feel about the performance of the two moderators?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question because I was not expecting that to come across either. I mean, I would say that there are a lot of conservatives who are waking up this morning, even those who, you know, let's just say, you know, don't think that the former president did a very good job last night. That is still a point of bitterness to them, is just that they feel as though that this could have been moderated differently. You know, that's more of the conservative perspective here. I mean, in terms of the performance of the moderators, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, it looked very different than the CNN debate. I mean, I think that that's very clear, where the CNN was, you know, a bit more of a just have at it, you know, where the ABC one, you know, was a bit more focused on fact checking and things of that nature. Bottom line is that in the wake of both of those debates, you got a lot of people who are happy and a lot of people who are not happy. I'm not sure if you can ever make anyone happy with one of these.
I wonder if the people who were inclined to vote for Donald Trump will continue to do so. And the same way that when he spoke to the National Association of Black Journalists in Chicago and to them mocked Kamala Harris's race or racial identity, I wonder if in both cases, the debate last night and when he said that to a room of black journalists, he didn't care about the people that might object to that because he was talking to somebody else. He was talking to the
right
people that are on his side. So even if some of those things weren't true or ludicrous, if that's in the sort of conservative conspiracy space, he was talking to those people in that room. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right. And what I would say to that, which I think is interesting, is you have looked at the data that has come out over the last 6-7 months or so, and support for the former president has remained rather consistent. Yeah, ebbing and flowing a few percentage points here and there. And we've had a very tumultuous news cycle over the last few months where there's been a lot of big headlines, a lot of things that have happened here. But when you look at the other side of the coin, it has been Vice President Kamala Harris's numbers that have really ebbed, flowed, gone up, gone down. We don't know where they're going to settle yet. It seems as though, you know, just looking at the raw numbers, that the base is largely set for the former president, you know, with maybe a bit of opportunity in order to grow or decrease there. The question is where do the vice president's numbers ultimately settle here? Because it seems as though no matter what happens in the news cycle, the former president kind of has his supporters locked up.
And she has a higher ceiling than he does right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say so, because, I mean, we're still at a stage right now, we're less than 2 months out from the election, but there's a lot of voters who still don't have a full picture of what exactly a Kamala Harris presidency would look like. I mean, she is really running as this new, fresh face, change candidate. You know, granted, some people scoff at that one, consider that she's currently part of the executive branch, but I would say that her ceiling is higher and perhaps her basement is lower as well. We just don't really know where those numbers are going to settle, because there are still, even after last night's debate, a lot of unanswered questions about what exactly her list of policies would look like.
You know, just one last observation here, and then we need to wrap this up, but not to belabor the contention that in Ohio, migrants from Haiti are eating people's pets. We are asking ourselves to pick a president who needs to be smart and know BS from the truth. And if Donald Trump really feels that that's true, or that's important, or that's somehow representative of something that we need to talk about and fix in this country, then I don't know how people could vote for him, because that's just crazy. It's crazy to believe it, and it's crazy to worry about that. And there he was spending time defending that. I don't have anything else to say other than, what did you think of that?
Yeah, it was a moment in the debate in which it raised a lot of people's eyebrows. And if you spend a lot of time on Twitter, there's a lot of supporters of the former president that have really been hammering on this issue for the last couple of weeks or so. You know, when I talk to, you know, I mean, everyone has a different takeaway from the debate last night, but there is a sector of Republicans who intend to vote for Donald Trump who are kind of talking about last night with the words, you know, I didn't think the debate was fair, but I didn't necessarily like the way that the former president carried himself. There is this sect of Republican voters who are out there saying that. And the biggest gripe that I think that they had is that they felt as though Kamala Harris set traps, you know, in the way, rhetorical traps, and they felt as though that he kind of fell for those every one of those times. That would be their criticism of that. You are hearing that from some Republican circles
right
this morning, that same word, discipline.
Well, that's all the time we have. I'm not disciplined enough to end this conversation in the allotted time I have. I've got to let you go, Robert, but thanks for visiting with us, and we'll continue to reach out to you down the road.
Thank you so much.